Ivor is a huge nerd. Dor is actually present, and Josh envies D&D players on this week's installment of Android App Addicts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 549. This broadcast is brought to you by Simon B., a devoted Patreon guy, was with us for at least 3 years. I want to thank you for all the support, Simon. If you, too, want to support this podcast directly, you can go to patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts. That is the easiest, simplest way to do it. Bottom line. Or you can simply share a link with the show on your social media of choice. That helps a million times more than just leaving a review. Long story short, reviews help the companies publishing the podcast, never helps the podcasters. Live and learn, people. Been doing this for over a decade. We're joined tonight by Ivor and by Josh. How's everything going, Ivor?
Oh, it's going really well. Dor, thanks a lot. It's a bit of a cold, windy day here in New Zealand, but I've got the fire going and it's nice and toasty.
Very cool. The weather up here is getting ready to be really wet. Hurricane skimmed by Florida, hitting a little bit of the Carolinas, and we're going to get rain, I believe, starting tomorrow. Except for that, it's actually been mild. How is everything going over on your side of the continent there, Josh?
It's been warm, no rain. I've got to admit, my gluteus maximus is a bit soreus. I've played soccer for about the third time in my life on Tuesday and decided that I would like to try to see what it was like to be a goaltender. So it was a short field, 6-on-6, and some of those guys are professionals, I think, and really blasted the heck out of me.
I thought your face would have been hurting from blocking the ball so much.
Yeah, I managed to keep it away from my face and other important areas, but just I have decent reflexes but terrible flexibility. So that combination causes some slight pulls and discomfort.
Well, I mean, it's just like the first time I get a brand new car, I go to an empty parking lot and I test it, stress it out so I know its boundaries. If you don't know your boundaries, you're just going to get in more trouble. So it's good to know where it should stop.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do this on a day. I installed Android 10 on my phone, which was a bit nerve-wracking as it took way too long. And I thought maybe it bricked my phone, but after it finished, I've had no issues.
Was that a scheduled update, or did you just do it yourself?
No, it popped up that it was available.
Okay. Yeah, Android 10 went live, I believe, yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And the way they always do it is like 10% of the people will get it in the first X amount of hours. And then depending on how long it takes, how hard it's hurting the network, then they pace out the rest of the installations. My question is, initial impressions, is it dramatically different? Or is it even better?
I haven't had it that long. The only real difference that I can tell so far is that, it's a little cleaner maybe in the top row with, you know, the battery and all the notifications. Yeah, I don't know. I'm my attention to detail is terrible, Dor. So.
Well, no. That just means that nothing is jumping out at you. Are you using gesture navigation, or did it even ask you if you wanted to use it?
No, it didn't really give me the option. It seems like all of the new features I'm going to have to poke around and dig for. So I definitely will try all of that, or at least that, before next week.
Gotcha, yeah. Sometimes when you have a new device and it gets 10, they give you a completely different set of defaults than if you've upgraded from a previous version.
Yeah, I didn't have much time today because I've been trying to learn Gatsby, which is the framework built on React, and I'm not that smart, so it's difficult.
What is React? Sorry if I'm sounding stupid.
Oh, it's another framework which is built on JavaScript mainly, and it's what Facebook uses. So it's their framework for creating their web apps, including Facebook, and it they open sourced it. So it's probably if not the most popular, one of the most popular web development frameworks right now.
Yeah, its goal is, I don't want to say to cut corners because that's almost insulting it. It's encouraging a more rapid development style to where you don't have to type every single little thing out. You just throw a name, throw some parameters, like some sizes or something, and it does all the heavy lifting kind of thing. Used correctly, these JavaScript frameworks can take what should take weeks and weeks and weeks down to a couple of days worth of work.
Yes, I would agree with that. And also, React is built to be responsive and extremely fast because it's using components, and whenever something changes, somebody enters details or clicks a button, the only parts that need to change on the page are updated, but the rest of it stays the same. So you're not building the page every time somebody clicks something, or there's a dynamic change. It only changes whichever component. So basically, it's creating single page apps. So only made it more confusing.
No, that sounds sensible to me. Yeah, these coding languages, especially for web development, are becoming simpler and simpler and easier for more people to use, which I think is only a good thing, really.
Yeah, they're definitely lowering the barrier of entry for everybody. And I will say, React, Angular, jQuery. I don't want to say it doesn't matter which one you learn, but if you learn one of them, everything seems at least a little bit easier.
Well, I also, earlier in the week, did a little poking around at Android app development, which I didn't get too far, but there's a language called Kotlin that I think I'm going to try to learn because I have an application which I could do and possibly even get paid for. So try that hopefully in the next couple months as well.
Scrabble, perhaps?
Very cool. Well, I'll say, speaking of Android, and I don't know why, because I literally think Fang Thought, because you guys mentioned this in the live show last week, I can add you guys as quote-unquote moderators into the YouTube chat, to where you should be able to put links in. I've tried everything else. I don't know what else to do.
It worked last week after you did that. We were able to post links.
Okay.
Speaking of which, we missed you, Dor.
I don't know what happened. I literally don't know. I can blame my kids all I want. I can blame my wife all I want. I don't think any of them were the actual culprit. Long story short, I freaked out blaming Pi-hole ad blocking software on my network. In doing that, I reset my physical router. I'm dual natted because I'm an idiot. And my main router, I forgot the network cable doesn't clip in. It just sits there. So I think when I picked it up, because I keep getting the password wrong on the Verizon router that I can't get rid of, when I put it down, I believe it wasn't making a good connection, which I think only exacerbated my network issue. So I was upset last week. But it seems like it's fine now. Knock on fake wood.
Well, how are you doing,
to watch Cosmos at 3x regular speed.
yeah, that's true. It seems to be going okay. I still haven't set Pi-hole back up on my network, just out of straight fear.
How are you doing? How was your week?
Oh, it was bad because I had a holiday on Monday, and at my place of employment, whenever there's a holiday, I've noticed it took 23 years because I'm so slow. But whenever there's a short week, it seems like a certain percentage of employees take off the entire week. And the reason is, I believe, is because every time there's a 4-day work week, everybody expects 5 days worth of work to get done. And I'm just getting to the point where I can't do it. I'm physically incapable of crunching down what people expect out of me in 4 days and five. Yeah, I can't do it. And doesn't help the fact that 4 hours of the whole 32 hours was spent in training. So, it just was, it was not fun this week so far, even though I have one more glorious day left. Eating 600 calories a day doesn't help with the, aggravation level.
No, gerbil couldn't survive on that.
Yeah. Well, on the weekends, one day on the weekends, I'm allowing myself to eat whatever. But for the weekdays, I have to go under 1,200 calories or else it seems like I put on weight.
So you're hangry most of the time then?
That's a very nice way to put it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm quite aggravated. Yes. But not as aggravated. You hear that crappy segue? Not as aggravated as the people referenced in this article over on ZDNet. ZDNet, I'll say this. There's a lot of crap websites out there. There's a lot of niche websites out there. There are a lot of niche websites begging to expand here in the last couple of weeks, by the way. But there are a few websites out there that I still trust to a degree, and a ZDNet or ZDNet.
Thank you.
Is one of those sites. You're very welcome. It's one of the sites I find consistently okay, not fantastic, but consistently okay. And this article caught my eye. It is basically saying how we on this show have had people on who have been extreme fans of Android, of like super cheap Android set-top boxes. And apparently there is a lot of Android set-top boxes out there where they are not getting correct updates. They're not getting correct updated firmware or anything else. So they're vulnerable to mass attacks. And I will say it didn't even cross my mind back when we were looking at these things. We figured they wouldn't get a lot of updates. For the most part, I think security updates are, I don't want to say overrated. I think they're overemphasized is the way I'll put it. But if you sell, you know, a quarter million set-top boxes to people and they're connected to networks the whole time and they never get any updates on them, that is a prime, like, low-hanging fruit target. So I will say if you have a set-top box that you know for a fact has not gotten updates, you might want to isolate it on your network.
Yeah. I have an Android box sitting on my TV, and it's rarely used, but it's always just connected to my guest network. It doesn't have access to the full network. And whenever I did try to use it, because I signed up for a Netflix subscription the other day, I finally caved, and I tried to use Netflix on it and just wouldn't work. Netflix refused to operate on it. So there's not a lot of point in hanging on to it now. Doesn't really do anything.
Gotcha. There is a way you can test if you're vulnerable to this exploit, I will say. It's basically, there's a port open on the device, port 5555, which is, that's how people can, what's called ADB, Android device bus, wirelessly into the device. And if they get that kind of access, they have very privileged access, is the way I'll put it. So if you want to know how to do it, just look Wi-Fi ADB 5555, and you'll find many people telling you how to do it to so you can see if your device is actually vulnerable to this.
You have to unload the boot locker first before that can be vulnerable? No.
Okay. No. A fair amount of devices I've gotten over the years in the mail directly from Hong Kong, I'll say, kind of like this little thing right here. Yeah. Their bootloaders don't have to be unlocked, but like you can directly access ADB over Wi-Fi.
Okay, yeah. Security on these sorts of devices has always been an issue. Like you say, it's kind of overrated, but it is a vulnerability, and you know, large networks of botnets have been set up using these sorts of devices. Just do a port search, and you'll find all sorts of bloody things there. Mainly from these cheap devices that people just have connected to the internet.
Yeah, and I hate saying it like this, but the truth is the more popular a device is, the more likely people will look for exploits on it. Mm. So if you literally got like a one-off box, there's little to worry about. But if your box was actually a okay spec device at a fine price, a fair price, and it's been available for like over a year, there's a chance it's actually popular. Where like if you get the Mi box, I would hope that thing's getting some updates because that was actually popular for over a year.
Yeah, didn't it have a certain chip in it that was obsolete now and was never going to get another update?
In the first generation of the Mi box, they did run into it was like a out of life cycle issue, but I think on the Mi box 2, they're still fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I just posted a link into the chat for the Lite Phone 2, which is sort of an anti-Android app addicts phone. Apparently there was a Lite Phone 1, which I missed in 2017, I believe it was.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
this. This is a phone which allows for calling, texting, and what else? And alarms, and has zero apps.
So, I should give this to my kids.
Well, I'll first say the bezel on this thing looks like something from 1992. And I'll say it technically does have apps on it because the clock is an app and the other thing is an app. They do plan, they said, on releasing a very small number of applications. And the goal is to never install, they said, a browser. Nothing that will give you browser type functionality, but instead the types of apps where you can simply open it once and do one thing and then there's nothing else to do in the app. They said they're going to be very particular about what they allow on their platform. But they did want to have, I want to say one of them was a possible navigation app they were looking at doing. I'll say this, I'm interested by the device, especially if it's cheap. Because I like the idea of having a dedicated, non-connected, non-interactive device for certain things. Because let's admit it now, the people who need this maybe are the people who are willing to admit that they indeed are addicts.
Right. Well, it does, under the specs, it does have a GPS, Bluetooth, and Wi-Fi enabled. So without apps, those seem fairly useless.
Yeah, why would they need Wi-Fi if it doesn't have apps?
Unless it supports internet-based phone calls, like calls over.
Or over-the-air updates, might need Wi-Fi for that.
Right, and I want to say T-Mobile, Verizon, and I think AT&T, if you're on Wi-Fi and it is a strong signal, they will try to route your voice calls over an actual network like that.
And those are
$350.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say next, though, about your cheap thing. But it does work with your AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. Those are the three that it...
Well, you know.
Well, you can get three of them for the cost of a new iPhone.
I can get my right now current 9-to-5 phone, full-time phone, costs less than that. I want to say it was $260.
And what are you running?
Huawei P20 Lite.
I read in the chat saying you can try and see if that China website shows its compatibility. Compatibility with what, Red? With Android?
No. There was a website me and Red found a while ago where most of the websites where you find phones, they just tell you bands that are available on the device.
Yep.
But with this website, it actually told you carrier compatibility, like A, B, C, and D. It gave it a grade.
Oh, okay, right. Yep, I've seen that before too.
Yeah, interesting device. If it was, in my opinion, $150 less, aka about half as much, it would probably sell decently.
I imagine a lot of people would want to give this to their young kids. I mean, I've got an 8-year-old daughter. I don't want her to have a smartphone, but she catches the bus every day, and I need to be able to get in contact with her. So, this might be something I'd seriously consider just giving her.
Gotcha.
I'm not paying $350 for it, though.
Well, that's U.S. too, so you're looking at probably $750.
Yeah. Well, speaking of overpriced, I'll say this at least interests me only because it's different and kind of like that light phone. This is at least different enough to catch my eye. I'll never pay the money that they're paying.
Yeah, I saw that.
I would love for this to come down. This is a Likebook Mimas. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a 10.3-inch e-reader, e-ink, Android-based tablet, which... I love the idea of it because there is certain things, let's say on my tablet, I don't need full motion video. I don't need 60 frames a second. I don't need 4K. There's a fair amount of uses, I'll say, I could find, you know, with a device like this, especially if I can have a stylus, which I can, and actually draw or take notes. But they want $439 for this device. And I just, you know, I love the idea of it. No, I mean, to me, this is a $80 device, maybe.
Yeah, it's insane. How much is a Kindle e-reader? $150?
Kindle e-reader, I'm sure, is much less, but there ain't no Android on it. You can hack it, put no Android on it. And here's the thing. They like tout that this price is down to $439 from $489.
Why so expensive?
I don't know. I will say there's a good YouTube channel, Technology Connections. I'm 99% sure is the name. And if SCJ was in the chat, he would correct me if I'm wrong. He is the definition. If you look up nerd in the dictionary, he's a picture of Technology Connections guy. I mean that in the nicest way possible. He reviews all kinds of stuff like everything from AC units to light bulbs to how televisions used to work, Turner's used to work, and he's found more than a couple Android-based e-reader, e-ink displays. None of them are cheap. They all try and have high refresh rates. I don't know why, but they all try to. So I think this is a trend. I think it's going to get more popular, but if they can bring the prices down to a reasonable price, I'm not going to lie. I'll definitely look at this.
Well, Lenovo came out with the successor to the Lenovo Yoga Book, you know, which I used to have and now my son uses. But the keyboard for that is an e-ink reader. Turns from a keyboard to an ink reader as well. But that is also very expensive. It's about $900. So I'm just waiting for that to come down.
That's also because Lenovo makes the best hardware in the world.
Which world are you talking about? Well, they make some pretty good hardware, but they don't make very good phones. Put it that way.
The first world, Ivor. So we're not talking about New Zealand here.
That I'm not in. Yeah.
Okay, well, to completely derail that conversation and go a complete direction nobody was expecting in this show, I'll say. Here's an interesting article I found on the Next Web. And I'll say the Next Web is one of those sites. They have some pretty bad stuff on their website sometimes, but once in a while they have something interesting. Here's an article on how Hong Kong protesters are embracing offline messaging apps to avoid being snooped on. Okay, long story short, for people that don't know, we're now going on 13 to 14 weeks of mass protesting going on in Hong Kong. All started with a possible law being propositioned to where they could have extradition to China with no due process or any reason given. And once the law was introduced, people started to protest. Since then, they've had hundreds of thousands of people sometimes on the streets protesting. Not a lot of people have died, got injured, been attacked kind of thing. It's been remarkably low numbers. But the Hong Kong government is starting to be at least a little bit more pushy, is what I want to say. Like they tried to get crafty last week and spray people with hoses with ink in them, thinking they can later find the people with ink on them and arrest them. And then people were literally bringing like soap and detergent to the protest rallies and immediately cleaning off kind of thing. Almost like they knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. Well, if they were using centralized services like WhatsApp, Twitter, Facebook, those kinds of services, it would be much easier for a government to snoop on them, is the way that I'll put it. So they've been using these quote unquote offline messaging apps to communicate back and forth, more of like a peer-to-peer messaging is the actual terminology for it, is what I'll say. So interesting, and I will say here to me is a perfect use case of Nextcloud, to where if they were to use Nextcloud, they wouldn't have to worry about being snooped on. But if you're interested in being off the public cloud, having text messages back and forth, you might want to look at this article as an example of what your choices are and how you can have conversations and not have to worry about, you know, big brother breathing down your throat.
Yeah. You go, Josh.
Okay. I was just going to say that it looks like it's built on an app called Bridgeify. I was just looking into, and looks like that is the offline messaging service. Don't really know how it works, but it looks like it's all open source and certainly going to look into it. Or maybe it's not. Actually, there's a pricing tier as well. But I think that this idea is absolutely fantastic, though. It sort of reminds me of the sneaker net days. And I guess in some countries, you know, sneaker net's still going on. So, yeah, just finding ways to transfer information under the noses of people that are trying to repress that. Or repress you and keep information out.
Reminds me of, I think back in 2011, I want to say there were heaps of riots in the UK, and particularly London. And I think they spread to other countries in Europe as well. But after that, the police were trying to crack down on people using BlackBerry Messenger. They were trying to make sure that BlackBerry Messenger was, with encryption keys, were available to the police so they could actually, stop the eavesdrop on the conversations these rioters were having because they were being coordinated through BlackBerry Messenger.
Yeah, and for the listeners out there screaming to use Telegram. Telegram was one of the first ones that Hong Kong protesters said was compromised and was getting snooped on. Signal, the problem with Signal is it's so popular. Supposedly, governments have been installing applications on phones just to try to circumvent Signal to capture key like strokes on phones.
Really?
You want to go with something. Here's the long and the short of the example I'll give. China, in their big cities, have like barriers where people can't walk through unless they give their phone up. And when you give your phone up, they install an application on the phone. If China is so good about sniffing traffic and remotely monitoring everybody, why would they need to manually install applications on phones? Because I know for a fact the easiest way to snoop on the masses is to snoop at the lowest common denominator, the place where all their traffic is going through. And I'm sure China has direct access to all of the phone networks.
Of course it does. Yeah.
So there must be a reason they're not snooping there. My guess is there's too much going on in the network. It's too hard to isolate channels, or there's encryption going on that they can't handle. So they need to get on the devices themselves. So you want to go with less popular choices is what I'll say. I have never heard of FireChat. I never heard of the other one you mentioned either, Josh. But I will say this. Going with a popular solution only makes you more of a target. Without sounding dumb, that's one of the reasons I like Voxer. I've been on Voxer now for 6 years, and I still am rarely in public and hear off in the distance because it isn't a popular app, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, Voxer's great. It's got a lot of functionality as well.
It's great when it works, but for like the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I've not been able to do variable playback speed. So when someone leaves me a 3-minute message, it's like torture listening to 3 minutes at 1x. But I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I blame Voxer.
You should extract the audio file and listen to it on a different device.
Well, you can only extract audio if you're a Voxer Pro subscriber. And if you were Voxer Pro, variable playback still didn't work. Okay, now, just yesterday, I got an update. Variable speed playback works. But if I have my Bluetooth disconnected and I hold my phone up to my ear, it won't play through the earpiece. It will only play through the loudspeaker on the phone.
Wow. Okay.
So.
I went and got a Voxer Pro membership. So I'm quite happy with it. I only speak to Josh on it.
It works. So do you have any more links there before we get into the apps?
No, not me. No, sorry. I didn't look any
Josh?
Up.
Josh? No, I don't read very well. So.
Okay. Well, I just have one, and I have to bring this one first just because I want to watch your guys' reaction live on the show. Okay. This app is from Cat Games Studio. Okay. And it's called Hacker Simulator Tycoon, right? Okay. And you look down at the screenshots and there's nothing. It's like, it's just about create a unique character, perform hacking orders, create games and applications, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. Okay. Go back up to the top of the page. Click on Cat Game Studio, okay, and scroll down just a little bit, and what do you see?
Writer Simulator 2, movie director, Tuber's Life.
You don't see the Russian version?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, yes I do. Yeah, right there, the Russian version.
Okay, yep. So this is what I find hysterical. These people are publishing an explicit Russian version of a game that they say teaches you the basics of hacking. And they're doing the same thing to the U.S. audience where they're claiming that, they're teaching you the very basics of hacking through game form kind of thing. Don't ask why I found this. Don't ask why I found this. I'm just saying I found this and I just started laughing out loud.
Do you speak Russian, Dor? Just a question for a friend.
Yet.
Have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
I plead the fifth. No, but there once in a while I like looking at simulator type games and I saw Hacking Simulator. What? Hacking Simulator Tycoon? Tycoon, because tycoons were the old game of the roller coaster tycoon, amusement park tycoon, railroad tycoon, airport tycoon. They had them all. But then Hacking Simulator Tycoon, and I got to say I love the image artwork on it. It gives like the impression of like the UN or something going on in the background.
Nice. You know, Dor, I do have one more link. Talking about the offline communication. This is an article written by a friend of mine who lives in India, and he also deploys internet in a box, and he uses CANs to create mesh networks between communities and in villages. I think right now he's somewhere up in the Himalayas doing this. And so this isn't the article that I read before, but I'm sure it's an interesting read. And just the technology that he's using to create these mesh networks is pretty impressive. From Raspberry Pis to actual tin cans to use as antennas, basically.
Wow.
Very interesting.
Why does he do this?
Very cool.
Is it part of a charity work? Or?
Yes, just to connect and bring technology to different villages.
Yeah, I'll say from someone in the first world speaking, I don't know if I would call this charity per se. Because to me, the idea of charity is you drop in, you walk by somebody, you throw some change at them, and you just keep walking. This is more like devoting time to try to betterment of communities, ecosystems, areas, people. To me, we need a better word. You know what I mean? Because at least too many people who I come across every day, the idea of charity means almost like pity, like here, go clean yourself up kind of attitude. And I say that knowing I'm a first worlder, white male, aka weird, the acronym weird, if you guys aren't aware of it. It is the problem plaguing government. It's the problem plaguing civilization. It's the problem plaguing medicine. I'm weird. WEIRD. Western, educated, industrial, rich, democratic. Which is not the majority of the people in the world. Yet everything that we have in the first world is based off of that. Western, educated, industrialized, rich, democratic. So when we hear people in Russia, we don't comprehend. Oh, what do you mean they have no freedom? Well, that's their own fault. No, we cannot possibly understand how their culture is or reacts. When we see people in Africa, we think sending them shoes helps them. No, if you go to one of those things that where you buy a pair of shoes and it sends a pair to them, talk to people in Africa. That's the worst thing you can do because you're taking jobs away from people who can make shoes. They don't need free stuff. They need careers. They need jobs. You know, I digress. Good article, Josh. Good article.
Well, I can relate to what you're saying, though, because with the computer lab project in Myanmar that I do, there's more than once I've had to, I guess, justify what we're doing and actually try to impress upon people that it is sustainable for different reasons that I've needed to do this. But that's like what you're saying is you walk by and throw 50 cents at somebody. And that's what people or some people tend to think is going on is you go and you just set up these computer labs and then walk away. Whereas in order to make it sustainable and actually worthwhile, you know, you have to put that extra effort in to train people and, you know, have some sort of contact with the community in order to make sure that everything is still working and, you know, be able to answer questions and things like that. Otherwise, yes, it does tend to come down to or end up being a pile of rubbish in a corner that's just collecting dust that, you know, in 5 years, people say, I don't even remember what that was for.
Yeah. And I did notice, and I don't know if you noticed this, Josh, on more than a couple Medium pages I've seen here lately, there's an audio player at the top. And I do think they are basically taking people, volunteers are basically reading the article and putting it all in audio form. And I'll say this, for people who need accessibility, listening to that has to be better than listening to a machine speak. I don't know.
Well, and it actually says good at voice translation and voice management. Now, like they had that, what's that project where they call up and make a reservation for you on the phone?
I want to say it's not Duo. No, it's the one that actually turned out to be fake. Almost 40% of those phone calls were actually made by people.
Yeah, that's right. But they've done a lot of research into the structure of language and the form of language.
Oh, yeah.
And they're getting their machines to be able to talk like a lot like people now.
Anyway. Yeah, I will say I'm almost shocked at how I can normally speak to my phone and it perfectly understand what I said. And then I stop and think, you know, there's like 85 different ways I could have said that. And it seemed like it just naturally understood what I said, even though I, you know, could have said it a different way. And I will say this, Red in the chat, if you want to come out live to the chat Thursday night, New York time, 9 o'clock, we're on YouTube, and IRC there. He says, not a handout, a hand up. And I'll say, very apropos, Red. Yes, exactly. What people need is not pity, throwing money at them, throwing stuff at them, but instead giving them a hand up to our level kind of thing without sounding, you know, pompous.
And it says underneath that, the audio player there, that it's actually an audio podcast for this blog post. So now I just need to do some research on what a podcast is.
Good luck. I think it's something that only people do in the first world.
I wish I knew somebody I could ask about it.
So what's your first app there, guys?
You go first, Josh.
Right under the bus. The first app that I'm going to bring is called Magnet Balls Pro. And this is one that I think that Eric would like.
It looks like they might have a free version.
Yes, they do. The only reason I have this version is because on the app sales app, it was free. So,
gotcha.
I don't know. I think there was an ad at the bottom too. So, you know what? All these apps that you get that say pro, they all seem to have ads anyway. So I don't know. They just,
well, forgot to look. Let me see.
I'm logged in under the account that my phone is, so I can't see the price. Does it have a price?
99 cents, and it does say contain ads.
So basically, this is just like any other BBTan type. I don't even know what that platform is called. Frozen Bubble Bobble. How about that? Mm-hmm. Bubble Bobble.
This is an old Linux game from literally like 98, but looks ridiculously better, I will say. And yes, Eric did bring at least one or two of these type of games in the past where he admitted he couldn't stop playing them.
Yeah, right.
Eric really was an Android app addict.
And so basically it's just you have what I assume are steel balls. And then there are...
Why, thank you.
Hey.
Takes one to know one.
Write that down real quick. And so then towards the top of the screen, there are different numbers of magnets. Like the first one has three magnets at the top. And so the balls will stick to there and then like Bejeweled or any other games, like have to get three of the same color and then they go away. But you can bounce it off the wall. So basically you're just trying to use the magnetic force to manipulate the flight of the ball to line up with other such colors.
Huh. One of the features is five bonus balls. Okay, I guess that's a feature now. But yeah, this is the kind of game, if you are OCD, you might get trapped. All you got to know is balls, when they connect together, make like hexagon type shapes. So there's always that shape you're pushing forward where you can try to manipulate. Well, if you hit it hard enough this way, it's going to disconnect and reconnect the other way and then have a long chain of hits kind of thing. And it does have an endless mode, which I will say is the kind of mode where, like, if you're on an airplane or a train ride, that might be like the perfect time killer.
And it, like you said, too, they do swing on the magnets are round and the balls are obviously round. And so they will start swinging and they might swing endlessly. So then you have to adjust your flight pattern accordingly.
Oh, and it will let you actually change what color you're spitting out.
Yes, you can go through and change the color of ball. So
that's a plus.
Does it have blue balls?
Look, they have a couple different shades. A
couple different shades of blue balls. So this, to wrap it up, this is not a life-changing app or a world-changing app, but it is potentially fun.
Back in 2005, my first daughter was born, and we got a new TiVo set-top box, and we installed that. And it had a game on it, which was Bubble Breaker or something like that, which my wife used to play when she was nursing our daughter. And she would spend hours playing this bubble game while my daughter was nursing. And she played it so often that it burned into the screen. We had a plasma TV, and it just burned all the shapes of the bubbles into the screen. But I don't know what it is about bubble games, but they are highly addictive.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring one more, I think at least one more game here. And it's only because I was searching for one thing and it started me nostalgia feeling about other things, which led me to this, which anybody who's played games for, you know, off and on for a couple decades would have definitely recognized. Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic by a Atari simulation game, E for everyone, no in-app ads, does have some kind of in-app purchases, 661 reviews, 4.4 average reviews, eligible for family plan, updated March 17th, 2019, 65 megs in size, 10,000 plus installs, current version 1.0.0. Um, 4.0.3 Android NUPA. Again, content rating E for everyone. In-app purchases, I don't know what they are, but they're anywhere from $1.99 to $5.99 per missions are nothing out of the ordinary except for contacts. I'm not a fan of the contacts. And this is not a free game. It costs $5.99 US, which I will say this is a quote-unquote real game. This is not a pretend game. This is not a, you know, game at. But this is the real old school game, Roller Coaster Tycoon, where you can build, design roller coasters and see how popular they become. And you can watch the roller coasters ride around and you can set them on death traps if you want as well.
Yeah, this was a very popular game in its day. My son played it for a while too. So
yeah, I thought it was cool. It ain't groundbreaking. I'm not going to say it is. And if you do click through, they do have a Roller Coaster Tycoon Touch by the same company, a Atari. It's more updated, but that one does contain ads and have in-app purchases. So I'd rather just pay once up front and get all the functionality.
Well, if it says that there are in-app purchases and you also have to purchase it. So when you buy it, are there additional in-app purchases?
I bought it. I have no idea what the in-app purchase would be.
Do you have to pay to ride the roller coaster, perhaps?
I don't think so. No, I mean,
do you have to be this tall?
I hope not, because I was going to give it to my youngest to play. He seemed interested by it. I don't know, and it does say that you can import and export, share your saved parks. So if you have old save files from Roller Coaster Tycoon 2, the PC game, you can literally import them into this.
Wow, really?
Wow.
That's what it says.
So they've managed to basically transfer the whole operating system into an Android shell.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Atari's really trying to get into this Android app game.
Well, there's a lot of money to be made with microtransactions.
That looks really fun, Dor.
Yeah, it's a great game.
If I had $8, I might think about buying it.
Gotcha. So what do you have next, Ivor?
Well, I don't have a game, but I do have... Do you want me to put the link in the chat?
Wherever you want.
There it is. For a while, I've been experimenting. I used to use Nova Launcher on my phone. I bought a Huawei Mate 20 Pro, and I wasn't really very happy with EMUI. And so I've been trying different launchers. But I always somehow end up going back to the default home launcher, which is the EMUI launcher. And the one problem I had with it was I couldn't change the icons on my Huawei phone. So I found this app, which is called Themes for Huawei and Honor. And what it does is it basically lets you download a third-party icon pack, and it will convert that icon pack into a EMUI theme. So if you have a Huawei phone, you can now use any icon pack you like while still maintaining your use of the original home launcher. You don't have to switch to a Nova launcher or any other launcher. It's just so that you can use different icon packs. And it doesn't work all the time, but when it does work, it's actually really good. So, yeah, sometimes there are some icon packs that just aren't compatible at all and they don't work. But most of them do work, and you end up being able to switch icons. which I thought was pretty good. If you're not really keen on switching to Nova Launcher or to any other launcher, you just want to stick with what you've got, then this is a good solution to be able to change your icons around.
Very cool. And to like testify on the popularity of those brands outside of at least the U.S., this does have 17,000 reviews with a total of 1 million plus installs.
What are the in-app purchases?
You can buy your own themes for your phone as well. So they sell separate theme packs, which you can buy and install. But if you've got a separate icon pack somewhere, it doesn't cost anything to convert it.
Very cool. And you can do custom fonts as well.
Yeah, it's got different
which
fonts.
I think is pretty cool. Yeah.
This is all you with the fancy Huawei phones. Hey, Dor, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any advice, say I was to become a dog?
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Dor, you got another one?
I did play that game for a little bit. What was it called again? How I Became a Dog or I Became a Dog?
I Became a Dog, I believe.
Yeah. The long and the short of it is you have to – wow. That sounded funny. You have to basically figure out a path or pattern through the game is the logic of it. Like you said, you have to figure out really quick that you have to eat the food. Well, eating the food just enables you to understand what the other dogs are saying, but you do have to eat a fair amount to understand what the dogs are saying. And then it leads you through progression of finding a cat hiding in the doghouse. Finding another pup in jail, finding medicine for a dog, finding a oil-like substance in a bathtub, more and more. Long story short, there's five different paths to an ending of this game. I found the first three of them. I have a hard time figuring out the last two of them. But one reason why I'm surprised you didn't really enjoy the game was shortly into the game, if you know what you're doing, maybe 10 minutes, because you got to restart every time you beat it. You have to restart from the beginning to try a different ending. You learn a power to draw bugs to you, and every time you use this power, you get anywhere from like 40 to sometimes 70 or 80 bugs, because to collect them the normal way takes forever. And to let you know, Josh, you gather bugs through flatulations. So quite literally, you stand in the middle of the room, you hit the fart button, and then bugs come like flying towards you.
Sounds about right. So do you say that you enjoyed this game?
I enjoyed the puzzle solving with it. I just had a hard time figuring out some of the alternate paths. The power you learn earlier is the power to bark. When you learn the power of barking, you can basically on demand get more food. So the very, very beginning, it's a very slow process to learn to talk to people. Once you learn to talk to like the first conversation, you can basically anytime you want get more food. You can use it too often and then have to wait for a cooldown period, or you can hit the button and watch a video. If you watch a video, you get full charge again. So I did that a couple times. The game turns dark fast is what I'll say. It turns a little bit dark, yeah, because the guy is in jail, falsely accused of basically murder. Of another animal, and another animal amongst you is the actual guilty party.
Nice. So it was the schnauzer in the kitchen with the butcher knife?
Something like that, yep.
Well, so what you're saying is that the whole point is to get your dog to flatulate, which brings me into my next app. So another crappy segue. This app is...
Well, mine wasn't crappy.
We'll just move on from there, I guess. This is called Idle Poo.
I'm out of here.
Idle Poo Factory VIP.
Oh, what fresh hell is this?
And it's by Caffeine Monster. It's rated mature 17 plus, 4.0 average reviews out of 134, 5,000 plus installs. In-app purchase of $1.19 to $20.99. And yeah, so you are the proprietor of a poo factory, and you start with, I think it's apples, just one variety of fruit, and you have what looks like a robot And
all right.
Then you upgrade the fruit and you upgrade the speed of the contraption, which is grinding the fruit up, which would be, I guess, the stomach. And then the drops down into what would be the bowel area. And then, there's an assembly line below you and you are putting out poo. The larger the poo, the more money you make. So you are trying to upgrade your factory and create bigger, faster poo.
So you've actually played this game?
Ivor, I think something happened and your mic got switched for something else.
And yes, Ivor, I did for a little while. It's just, I find that most of the apps that I download anymore are just tap, 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 tap here, tap there, speed tap.
Well, the developer name is Caffeine Monster, I will say. And this game does say mature 17 and plus. One of the characters, avatars, whatever, reminds me of a Terminator a little bit, you know, which you might find disturbing or not. I don't know.
Yes. The other one looks like a crash test dummy. And then the next one is what looks like maybe an Australian sheepdog or something.
I guess.
So yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah. I saw this app a while ago and I thought, oh my God. Why, dear God, why?
Why didn't you bring it before I did so I didn't have to deal with it?
Well, I thought I'd leave it for you.
I appreciate that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, right. Congratulations is in order.
So,
yes, this is the epitome of a crap app.
You said it, yes. We're not arguing. This one I wanted to bring because I showed it to a couple people that play D&D, and they were all definitely intrigued by it, is what I'm going to say. It's called Yora Adventures, Y-O-R-A, by TriClap Role-Playing Game, T for Teen. Does have some kind of in-app purchases, 34 reviews, free to install, no ads, in-app ads, 4.4 average reviews. Updated August 16th, 2019, 19 megs in size, which I will say is very nice size. 1,000 plus installs, current version 0.2.0. You need 5.0 Android and up. Content rating, teen and language. Oh, yeah, it is. In-app purchases are $4.99, which I believe is honestly, now that I think about it, I want to say it was a monthly subscription after the first 7 days was free. Contacts, storage, photo, media, location, calendar, camera, other. Needs a fair amount of access. This is not an easy thing to describe, but I'm going to try. Okay. Yora, Y-O-R-A, I believe stands for Your Online Role-Playing App. I believe is what Y-O-R-A stands for. Here's the long and the short of it. You have people who like playing, let's say D&D, but you don't have the physical things set up. You don't want to sit down and write out all the character sheets. You don't want to have a DM screen. You don't want to have all these dice. You don't want to have miniatures. You don't want to have any of those other things involved, okay? You all download and install this app. One person is the game master, dungeon master, or whatever, and the other people have the app installed, or you're all linked together. They're all characters in this adventure where you can share things between the adventurers. You can tell secrets between the adventurers. You can roll dice right there. The game master can present you with things digitally on the app kind of thing. The long and the short of it is you're missing out if you're a longtime D&D fan, because this is not Dungeons and Dragons. This is not licensed Dungeons and Dragons. But I did find out more than a couple of the things involved in Dungeons and Dragons, they purposefully have in a open license format. So some of this can still seem familiar to your longtime D&D person. I personally think this is a really nifty, is what I'll say, nifty way to introduce people to the idea of Dungeons and Dragons who don't like the idea of sitting down and filling out an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper with all these stats and information that they don't really understand what they are.
So is this designed, I was watching the video a bit there, is it designed to be played around a table, or is it designed to be played wherever you are in the world? Because in the video, they were all sitting around a table playing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think the reason it's asking you for your GPS data and permissions is it wants you to be all local. The logic is because you're basically all going to communicate on the same Wi-Fi network, and it might not work across the internet behind NAT routers, stuff like that. So you might be able to trick it, is what I'll say, to work over the public-facing internet, but I don't think it's intended to be played like that.
This is really cool. I don't know if you can see this. I got this book a while ago on Amazon. It's designed for kids to introduce them to Dungeons & Dragons. And there's another one here called Monsters and Creatures. So you've got Monsters and Creatures and Warriors and Weapons. And it just explains the basic rules for getting kids into D&D, because my kids are I'm interested in getting into Dungeons & Dragons. And I think something like this would be ideal. You put it on a tablet, and you can take them through a simple game without all the, you know, the rule checks and the dice and all that sort of stuff, which can be a bit daunting, especially for younger players. So I think that's a really good app.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say, I think one of the examples of a downside to this app is I do not think you as a game master, dungeon master, have the ability to create custom events, custom stories, custom adventures. So I think if you want more adventures, that's when you most likely have to pay.
Yeah. Well, you're going to lose some of your flexibility or your creativity options going to a format like this, but in terms of just getting people into it to start off with without having all that administration that goes with it, it's a really good idea.
I always wanted to play D&D, but I never had the group of friends that was willing to do it, and so I guess it begs the question, who's the bigger nerd, the one that plays D&D or the one that envies the ones playing D&D?
Well, I'll just say, if you were a member of Roll20.net, you might want to change your password. There was a huge data breach like a week and a half ago, which is a D&D-based community website where you can go for free, create an account, meet people online. It used to work via Google Hangouts add-on chat, to where you would have your window there viewing all the other people, and then you would have the game board on the side and your stats on the bottom of it. I'm guessing the site is still up and running, but if you have an account there, you know, you might want to go, you know, check your stuff and change your password. Okay. What do you have next?
I think it's Ivor's turn.
Ivor. Oh, after the Poo Factory, I'm pretty sure I know whose turn it is.
Speaking of Poo Factory, it's your turn, Ivor.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I have been lately getting into Linux, thanks to my friend Josh and Dor, and I've installed Linux Mint on my desktop, and I've been using it, and it's really, really good. I really like it and enjoy it. And this app that I found, I'll just put it in the chat now, is called the Linux Command Line Library, and it's basically a description of every single, well, I don't know if it's every single, but a lot of the command lines that are being used, and it has tutorials, it has explanations of what certain command lines do, it's got manuals, you name it, it's in there. And this is a really good little app for keeping beside you while you're tinkering around with Linux, and it will explain a lot to you. And it gives you little exercises to do, breaks it up into basic things like managing files and folders and the network that you're on and video and audio and all that sort of thing. So I found it really, really useful to explain, because you see a lot of tutorials on YouTube telling you to input these lines and of text, and you're not really sure what they mean or what they do. So you can use something like this as a little companion to get used to commands and what they're telling you to do and how your system works. It's a really good option if you're going from Windows to Linux.
Yeah, and I'll say for me, examples are the make or break with this kind of thing, and they do have examples, because it's easy to not understand what a command does, and it's easy to not understand what's called the man page with a Linux command, because all it does is it very statically says dash X means this, dash P means this, and as a user, you're expected to digest all of that and then at the end say, oh, I now completely understand this command.
So putting it into real world use case scenarios, or you know, you use this command line to do this, and I found it very easy to understand, and it does a good job of simply explaining things and what they do.
And Have you figured out how to paste in the command line yet, which is actually called terminal?
Yeah, you just right-click, didn't you? Paste?
Control-Shift-V.
Oh, Shift-V. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yep. So
yeah, I wonder why Control-V didn't work.
Yep, Control-Shift. Right.
Well, and here's the example of why learning Linux will help you on any operating system. Because then if you go back to Windows and you try Control-Shift-V, what you find out is that does plain text pasting. So hypothetically, you go into Microsoft Word and you copy like three paragraphs with three different fonts in it. You go to another application, hit Control and V, and it will print, it will paste the three different fonts. But if you hold down Control Shift and then hit V, you'll paste it with no formatting in it whatsoever. And so when you paste into a terminal, you better not have any formatting because it's a terminal and it has no idea what formatting is. So yeah, it's, you learn by example is what I'll say. And yeah. Yeah.
When are you going to start a podcast called Windows for the Rest of Us, Stuart?
Just hold your breath and I'll let you know.
I think this is a terrific app, Ivor. It's not quite a Poo Factory, but it is good. No, it's really good.
Not as crappy as that, but yeah.
I'm really glad that you're into Linux now. You know, there's been a few people that I have converted, and it's always, you know, the world becomes a better place every time somebody converts to Linux.
It's like an angel gets their wings. I just find it to be a much better system than Windows ever was. Much, much more functional, faster. You don't get the lag. It's simpler, easy to understand. You can do it. There's a lot of powerful functions with the command line. And it takes me back to my old days when I was learning BASIC, when I was, you know, 14 years old in the computer club, trying to write a script. So,
and the computer club and Dungeons and Dragons.
And Dungeons and Dragons.
You are my hero.
An uber nerd, yeah. Yeah, there's a few, I saw the bottom of a few rubbish bins, put it that way.
Ah, this locker is actually more roomy than it looks from the outside.
Very cool. So what do you have next, Josh?
I have an app called Last Arrows by Red Sugar. It is classified as action, and it's for teens. Updated 21st August 2019, 67 megs, 100,000 plus installs, has 4.5 average reviews out of 15,671. And it has in-app purchases $1.39 to $58.99, which seems a bit extreme. I like this type of graphic. I don't know, you probably have a name for it, but you are an archer and you line up shots and cover your children's ears. You try to shoot the people in the noggin, I guess.
Headshot.
There you go. And then, I haven't played it that much, but the first upgrade you get is penetration, so you can shoot two at once. So it just becomes more and more complicated, where you get less arrows, and then you have to, take out three with one shot.
Yeah, I was just watching the video. There's a scene there where a guy shoots an arrow through five heads, through the guy's five heads, and there's blood everywhere. It's great. My son's gonna love this.
Nice.
It might be even better than Bowmasters, which is another one of his favorites.
Yeah, and this is a editor's choice named in the top 10 of the Google Indie Festival of 2018. So it's definitely, I'll say, a higher quality game.
Yes, do you have you are a master of words as far as describing graphics and things like that. Is there a term for these type of graphics?
I'll say it's like simple cell shaded graphics, top down three quarter view. I like the fact that you can once in a while like hide behind obstacles and you can see where people are looking. So you can basically like wait for them to be in a certain area, then show yourself so they all draw towards you. There's a lot of manipulation. It is what I would say.
Yes, you tend to start behind an obstacle, and then as you draw the bow, then you come out of or from behind whatever obstacle you're hiding behind, and then make your shot. But I did, unfortunately, if you are seen and cannot get a headshot before these odd-looking creatures reach you, then they seem to gnaw on your head, and then you're the one that perishes.
Gotcha, gotcha. The app I'm going to bring next, I do believe it's a completely free app, is what I'm going to say first and foremost, because typically this kind of functionality, it's hard to find cheap. I've not been a fan of Air Droid in the past, primarily because it didn't seem like it did a lot of things that other apps didn't do, I thought, just as well. I'm not going to say better, but just as well. Well, now Air Droid is releasing Air Droid Remote Support from Sand Studio Tools app, E for Everyone, 36 reviews, completely free to download. No in-app ads, no in-app purchases, 4.2 average reviews, updated July 31st, 2019, 27 megs in size, 10,000 plus installs, current version 1.0.0.2. You need Android 5.0 and up. Content rating, again, E for Everyone. Permission level, storage, phone, microphone, Wi-Fi, photos, device ID, other. There's a reason it needs all this access. There's two applications. One of them is Air Droid Remote Support, and the other one was, I believe it was Air Droid. This is the app you give to someone who needs support, is what I'm going to say. You have your app. They have their app. They launch it up. You launch yours up. You get a 9-digit code, I want to say. They give you the 9-digit code. You type it in your phone, and voila, you have full screen remote access to their device. You can hit a button, and you can talk to them through the device. You can change it to where you're just tapping on the phone to show them an area to tap. You can have like a pointer-type device. They can give you a pointer-type device back, or you can actually click and manipulate things. You can also turn on the cameras where you can see each other in the bottom corner, to give support kind of thing. This is what I will say without any hesitation, a unbelievably full-featured app for remote support, Android to Android. I don't want to say the best I've seen, but this is about the best I've seen, is what I'll say.
Hmm. Mark bought one a few episodes ago called AnyDesk, which I've been using, and it's excellent. It's really good as well. So I'd be interested to see how this one compares. Because there's a lot of functionality in the AnyDesk one as well.
Yeah, that one was free, but only over your local network.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This one, I can literally connect to you in another country for completely for free. No cost at all.
Okay, that's cool.
The difference is with that any connect you could have unattended support to where you could blindly remote into a different device and you didn't have to do any thing else. Yep. This one, every time they launch it, you're given a different unique code to use. Mm. So there has to be somebody on the other side.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely give it a go.
What are you using it for, Ivor?
Well, for the show, basically, I can use it to share my screen. So you can see the apps that I've got on my screen, and then I can give a demonstration of how they work. Other things I can use it for is I have a security camera that's set up on my window, so I can have that security camera footage on my phone and have a separate window on my PC of that security camera footage, so I can look outside the window, see what's going on outside the window while I'm working on my PC.
Have you ever thought about looking out the window?
I don't have a window. It's a problem. If I want to go and look out the window, I have to get out of the room and leave my PC. I can look at Elvis, but I can't see out the window.
Well, speaking of Elvis, no, really. I am a YouTube Red, whatever it's called now, YouTube Premium subscriber. I found this link, is what I'm going to say. I found this link the other day. And what it is, it's a link to a YouTube account, an official YouTube account called Movies and Shows. And the link I'm dropping in the chat, all the movies are marked free with ads. Well, because I'm a YouTube Premium member, I watch these movies, there's no ads. So it's literally just free movies. And I'll tell you this, It's no Netflix. No, it's no Netflix. But Amazon videos seem pretty sucky. This seems as good, maybe, I don't know, maybe a touch better, I don't know. They do have movies like the Terminator, Stallone Over the Top, Knowing with Nicolas Cage, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Classic.
Sorry?
Classic. Classic film.
Oh, yeah. And then if you scroll down, Elvis, The Final Hours, where they go through the... And He-Man, Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren. The Legend of Bruce Lee, which is a 3-hour movie. So they have real named stuff in here. Thelma and Louise. But then they have, like, once in a while, they have a movie called Snow Queen, which looks like it's trying to look a lot like that Disney movie. But it's not.
The Korean version?
Dirty Work. Right. And they had Dirty Work. Dirty Work's a good movie. If you don't like Dirty Work, I'm not sure we have problems. Because that's it's a good movie. So if you are a YouTube premium person, there is a place where you can go and watch tens of hours, is what I'm going to say, at least hundreds of hours, even like Hellboy Blood and Iron. It's an animated Hellboy thing. I never even heard of it. Might be worth watching. George Harrison, All Things Must pass. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff here.
And the Elvis movies.
Buckaroo Banzai, Across the Eighth Dimension. Buckaroo Banzai, Across the Eighth Dimension.
I didn't even know.
Just rolls off the tongue.
I didn't even know he left the seventh dimension, to tell you the truth.
I'll say first off, if you haven't watched that movie, you need to watch that movie. Peter Weller, aka RoboCop, is a master of everything: super spy, rock star, neurosurgeon, political negotiator. He's everything. Jeff Goldblum's in the movie. You know, it's hard to go wrong with Jeff Goldblum. It's good. And it has one of the best exit music I've ever heard in any movie in my life, period. Oh, and did I mention he's a rock star? Because he's kind of a rock star.
I'm a bit confused, though, Dor. Mm-hmm. Because looking at this, I do not have YouTube Rouge or whatever. Are all of these videos that I'm looking at, are they all free for you if you have Red?
Well, they're all free for you. You just have to watch the ads.
No. A lot of these are, like, Jurassic Park is right there. And it says, from $4.99 Canadian. And then there are some, I see. Okay, so there's the free to watch section. And those all have ads.
I was hoping that would come through.
No, I've got the, I see it now, the free to watch. But, and so if you have YouTube Red, then those are all without ads.
Right. Okay. And there's literally hundreds and hundreds of movies in that list, I'll say. Some of them really bad, like Selena Gomez, Dreaming. But you have Platoon, and that's good. Yeah, there's some good ones there.
Maybe for you. In Canada, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's about 30 movies here, Dor.
So you can take your maple syrup and keep it, eh?
That's right.
Can you send me your username and password?
Yes. It's... 1, 2, 3, After Dark Original Area 51. Well, that might be worth a watch.
The question is Mystery Science Theater 3000 the movie on there?
No, I can almost guarantee you that's not.
If you haven't seen that one, that's also a movie to watch.
Mars Attacks?
The old...
Yeah. Are they in there?
Didn't see it. Good Eats, though. That's a good TV show.
Oh, what about Iron Chef?
Didn't see Iron Chef. So, do you have another app here, Ivor?
Yep, sure do. This one is one that's been on the show before, but it came a long time ago. And it is probably worth another look now. I think it came back in episode 330-something. And it's called the Palabre Feedly RSS News Reader. And I haven't had that much time with this, but I find it to be a much better app on my phone than the Feedly news, the Feedly app is. So this is a lot easier to use. The widget is really good. The widget is very impressive, as opposed to the Feedly app. And, I just find this, actually is a much better formatted, much, more well laid out, format for the stories that you're reading. And it presents your news feed in a much better way. It's much easier to use than the actual Feedly app itself. So if you're using Feedly, you might want to give the Palabre Feedly RSS reader another look. So its current version is 3.24. F requires Android 4.1 and up, and in-app purchases go from $1.70 to $33.56. New Zealand, of course, and 100,000 plus installs. I spend a bit of time using it. Well, not that much time, but when I have used it, I've found it really easy to use and quite well structured.
You have to log in to use it?
You need to log in with your Feedly account or your Google account.
That was pretty ironic, I suppose, that I actually installed an RSS reader today for the first time because our power went out, and so I wanted to subscribe to BC Hydro, see if I could get any information as to why. And I tried Feedly first, but it required a login, which I didn't want to do, and so I ended up using our RSS reader, I think is what it's called, and RSS widget, and it didn't require any login, but it's kind of ugly.
Yeah, I was particularly impressed with the widget, because the Feedly widget only gives you like 5 stories, and then you have to go into the app itself, but this widget, it just cycles through all your stories, and you can just sit there with the widget on your screen, going through, you don't even have to open the app.
And then it just scrolls through?
Yeah, you can just scroll through all your stories using the widget. Do you remember it from episode 330-something? Door?
I remember Feedly being brought up. I'm pretty sure I wasn't the one to bring it.
331 it came.
Yeah, I don't think I'm the one that brought it, is what I'll say. Any app, I just got to say this, I'm sorry. Any app with Ed Sheeran in the first picture is not an app developed for me. Just saying. Just saying. And it has 2 pictures of him. 2 pictures of him. Dang. Okay. Now, here's a dumb question. Can you actually submit your own RSS feeds, or do you have to go with their pre-selected, pre-curated selection? Are you there, Ivor?
You're muted, Ivor.
Oh.
Sorry, guys. I'm having audio trouble again. I don't know what's going on. But we'll turn it off and turn it back on again. I'll come back in about 2 minutes. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, because I want to say like half of the RSS readers I've looked at in the last year, you don't have an option of putting in a custom RSS link URL. You can only put in what they deem fit. Now, they do give you selections to pick from, but honestly, if you know anything about computers and the internet, 90% of the websites you go to, if you just go to them and just put a slash feed after a URL, you'll get an RSS feed, and you can just subscribe to that, and you don't need any special hocus pocus to get it to work.
I have Google to curate my articles for me, so I don't, you know, if I have an RSS reader, yeah, it definitely has to be customizable. What's the point?
Well, and don't get me wrong, I use the Google News Feed as well. The problem with the Google News Feed is there's no taking it offline. And if you scrolled and you saw something and you didn't click it and you went and did something else and you came back, that link might be gone forever.
I don't know what version of, I think it was the last update in Android 9 Pi, I guess it is. There is a little the toggle switch, basically, at the bottom of the article on the news feed, and then you can either pick more or less. And so you can sort of customize it a little bit more that way towards, but then again, you know, you're kind of isolating what you see, and now I just get a bunch of Raspberry Pi articles,
right?
Android articles.
Well, I'll say I don't like that little slide thing at the bottom because it says more and less. I have no idea what it believes it's doing more or less of. Where if you hit the 3 dots at the bottom right, you can at least say not interested in 3D printing or follow 3D printing or, you know, something like that. Or it actually can give you more than one category to say not interested in or interested in, or you could click on the following button. At least then I have an idea of what I'm following. That little more and less thing, I'm almost afraid to click it, is what I'll say. Unless I know. No, I don't want to know about the Boston Red Sox or ESPN or that pitcher individual. I don't want to know about any of them.
Ed Sheeran, for instance.
Or Ed Sheeran. Or pop music, British pop music, or anything involving Ed Sheeran. That's a safe bet.
I've got one more app, Door.
Okay.
This one I brought specifically for you. All right. I do like bacon as well. But this is Bacon the Game by Philip Stollenmeyer. It's a casual game, according to this. 4.3 average reviews out of 37,474. Last updated 13th of August, 2019. 83 megs in size. 5 million plus installs, which, you know, you can expect for anything related to bacon, I suppose. And
content rating, alcohol reference.
Oh, geez. Never mind. I'm taking it back. I don't want to bring this one. The description for this app is, have you ever tried bacon on ice cream, pina colada, the United States of America? And that's it. So
in the picture, it might be a meteor or the moon.
Right. And there's a stack of, it looks like a turducken with all the different birds stacked on top of each other. And there's a Statue of Liberty. And how it functions is that on the left side of the screen, there's a hand waving a piece of raw bacon. And so you have the physics of the actual motion of the bacon. And so when you touch the screen, whatever inertia the bacon has, which whatever direction, that's the direction the bacon goes. And then there's a flat frying pan, which the bacon drops onto. And then you have to basically flip the bacon and get it to land on top of whatever object it is you're trying to get it to land on. And it's actually quite fun.
Yeah, so it's a physics-based game, and the bacon is floppy.
Yes, it is.
And your goal is to make it land on top of the thing and not overshoot, undershoot, slide off.
Right. Yeah. Right. So there's quite a bit of motion and inertia and just trying to control that in order to get the bacon to land on. I mean, you had me at bacon, Door.
Yeah. I will say this game is vaguely familiar, but I don't think I've seen it before. Maybe it was just the style of game. I don't know.
Yep.
But I really do like the ultra simplified graphics.
Mm-hmm. And it may have been a dream that you had.
It's possible, because between me and you, I haven't had bacon now in about a year.
No. I don't want to hear this, Door.
I'm sorry.
How does that work?
It became too easy to just sit down and eat like half a pound of bacon. Because it's delicious.
Well, then you have to up the game to a full pound. I mean, you have to make it difficult.
Well, I'll retract my statement. I haven't had bacon in my house for about a year. But when we went out, I've had things with bacon. Because, you know, I look at the menu, I see bacon, kind of drawn towards it.
But how, I don't understand. I'm sorry, Dora, I'm extremely confused over this. You are still on the keto diet?
Yep.
And you're not eating
eating
bacon?
Now I'm eating lots of eggs, breakfast sausages, cheese, guacamole. Yeah, that's like 80% of what I eat right there.
Bacon.
I know. Mm. I know. I wish, and I did watch a good Adam Ruins Everything where they talked about bacon and why there's the bacon window on the U.S. packs of bacon. There's always that window, which is always misleading to what you're getting. But I wish, why can't I have smaller than a pound thing of bacon? Why can't I have a thing of bacon I open up and it's a third of a pound? There's some weird law restriction on bacon. It's the bacon haters, you know?
It's not the baconator. It's the bacon hater.
The bacon haters.
Can you not buy some at the deli? You can't buy it by the pound at the deli? Or?
If I do, it isn't properly, what's the word? I can't think of the right word. Nitrate infused is what I'll say. And it just it doesn't taste close to the same.
So you need the nitrates to make it taste like bacon?
The whatever the process that it goes through, yeah. It might just be like a curing, like a salting process or something. But it's different. Because I've tried it, the meat counter. It ain't good. And yes, I said meat counter. Okay, what I'm going to bring is next is the actual useful functional app, partially because you said the word offline. This was an app that I tagged weeks and weeks ago, only because once in a while we will all be in places that have either no connection or will be in places with limited connection or will be in places where we know we want to conserve bandwidth or battery. And it really is difficult for anything to beat what is constantly a abbreviated OSM, which stands for OpenStreetMaps. This is OSM and, offline travel maps and navigation from OSM and, travel and local. E for Everyone does offer in-app purchases. 65,000 reviews, completely free to download, no in-app ads. 4.2 average reviews. Updated August 20th, 2019, 69 megs in size, 5 million plus installs. Current version 3.4.8. You need 4.0 Android or up. Content rating E for Everyone. $1.63 to $9.99 in-app purchase. I do believe the in-app purchase is nothing more than to just give them a tip. I believe, I could be wrong. But I will say everything involving OpenStreetMaps, it's really hard to convey that we as a people really need to thank OpenStreetMaps a lot, because there really is no competition to Google Maps. MapQuest is basically dead. Yahoo Maps basically doesn't exist. OpenStreetMaps took up the good fight, and they are a real, actual competitive mapping service to Google, and they give away everything, all of their data, completely for free. You can download any map on any system and develop any application around it, and I can tell you right now, it will work. If you do not pay Google, for instance, and you host a Google map on your website and you get too much traction, you'll get a bill in the mail and you'll get turned off. I want to say it's something like 10,000 accesses a month and you start to pay money. So I really do like open street maps.
Agreed. I have a bit of experience with OpenStreetMaps and other apps which have been built upon them. And it's fantastic. It is a great project. And then you can also get vector maps from OpenStreetMaps. I don't want to get into all the details, but we've in Internet in a Box project, OpenStreetMaps is a pretty big part of it. I'm trying to design around OpenStreetMaps to put world maps and localized maps on an offline content server.
Very cool. Yeah, the only downside is if you have to have real-time traffic information. I don't think there's any way I've seen OpenStreetMap can pull that data in.
No, I don't. And I don't think that's really their thing. Have you ever used maps.me?
Can't say it rings a bell.
I just put a link in chat, and this is an app that quite a few friends of mine in areas which have expensive data rates use, and it's based on OpenStreetMaps as well, and it's basically the same thing, I think, similar to what you just brought, maybe just a little more polished or a little more robust. So yeah, it's offline maps.
Very cool. 50 million plus installs, that's a lot.
Yeah, one over a million reviews. I think maps.me is sort of the grandfather or the grand poombah of all of these offline map apps.
Gotcha.
And I wasn't trying to trump your app door, so don't hate me.
You're fine. How are you doing, Ivor?
Oh, good, man. I'd like to be able to finish a show where I don't have to duck out halfway through and restart my system.
You're making Linux look
every week.
You're making Linux look bad.
So sorry about that. Yep. There's an issue with Bluetooth. For some reason the receiver died and had to be reset, so I lost all my, couldn't hear anything you were saying. So you mind quick restart?
They have cords for that.
No.
You have any more?
I suppose I should use
that. Do you have any more apps, Ivor?
I do, I have one more. And I'll stick it in the chat now. This one is called Polyclock, and it's a very simple little app. And what it does is it gives you international time. So I find it quite handy for this podcast because I can I can look up, I can see it has a nice little widget which shows me 3 clocks side by side, and it shows me the time in Maryland, it shows me the time in Vancouver, and it shows me the time here. And I can tell exactly what time it is if I want to send someone overseas a message. Share my screen with you so you can see what it looks like on my phone.
But who do you know in the Vancouver time zone and the Maryland time zone, Ivor?
Oh, these weirdos. Yeah, these weird people, W-E-I-R-D people. and yeah, I mean, it's a very simple app, but there are various widgets you can use, which show it in different formats. It's not just the one widget. You can have 4 or 5 or 6 different time zones. It's a bit old. It's not using the latest material design, but it's very functional, and it does what I want it to do, and it works all the time, so I'm very happy with it.
Very cool. Yeah, I'll say I will happily vote for anybody, literally just about anybody, who can promise me either we'll get rid of daylight savings time altogether, or they will make one time. No such thing as time zones. I don't care if I wake up every morning at 9:10 at night. You know, the clock is irrelevant. I don't care what the number is. I want there to be the same time. So if I say to somebody like Ivor, 9 p.m., it's the same time. It's 9 p.m. for him too. There's no reason why we can't have all the same time.
They tried to. They had this. They developed this thing called Internet time, which basically was that. It was the time of the Internet. So it was meant to basically do exactly that. Say it's 9 o'clock in Maryland. It's 9 o'clock in New Zealand. It's just this time, and it never caught on for some reason. I don't know why. I thought it was a brilliant idea.
Well, it's still used in programming.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's primarily what it was developed for.
Well, yeah, it counts from like 1974. Like the time is from whatever time in 1974.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yes, that it was last updated March 8th, 2016.
All right. Explains a few things. But yeah, it works. So I
nice.
Very cool. Well, I mean, I'll say this. I'll repeat John Mad Dog Hall. If you don't know who John Mad Dog Hall is, maybe you should, I don't know, stop watching broadcast television. Sometimes applications don't need to be updated. Sometimes, you know, programs don't need to be updated. Sometimes operating systems don't really need to be updated. Sometimes the reason someone is updating something is because they want something out of you. So just because something has been updated isn't a bad thing. It could just mean it's a really stable application that just works.
Well, yes, and it's a clock.
Well, unless the law changes and everyone is on the same internet time, then yes, the app doesn't need to be updated.
I don't think the sun's going to stop what it's doing, or the planet's going to stop revolving at any time.
Well, and at that point, I'm pretty sure that there's not going to be an app that's going to... Yeah, there's not going to be an app that matters at that point.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to bring one more app that I'll tell you right now, this is the kind of app I have a really hard time even comprehending, but I loved the name of it and I love the layout of it and everything. It's called Captain We Have a Problem Design Layout Strategy Game, E for Everyone, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, completely free to download. The app has no reviews on it because it's basically that new. It's still in the beta type stage. Updated September 1st, 2019. Hey, that was like a couple of days ago. 1,000 plus installs. Size varies with device. Version of Android varies with device. Size varies with device. Again, content rating E for everyone per mission. It just needs network access. It's a game. I would call like a card-based game. You're given different circumstances and you have to pick what answers to pick. And when you pick an answer, it drives the next question and the next thing to happen. And there's 4 things you have to keep in balance. Once one of those things fall too far out of balance, basically either aliens kill you, you're revolted on and your ship will kill you, or you'll die from bad health. I mean, all kinds of different things. There's a couple card-based strategy games like this that have been out for a while that got good reviews is what I'll say. I just like this one because it's space-based. And if you watch the video, literally at just about the halfway point, at 35 seconds exactly, you basically see a censored out guy hanging being, I think, killed. I don't know. It's just
looks
weird.
Like he's about to be put into a tank with sharks with lasers.
Yeah, it's bad stuff, is what I'll say.
Frickin' shots with frickin' lasers.
Exactly. So I just thought this was, I'll also say, distracting enough to bring to the show.
And it's
space based.
I just installed a door. This reminds me of some of my favorite books when I was young, are the Choose Your Own Adventure books. You just get a couple options at the bottom and then turn to that page. And
you never got into Dungeons and Dragons, but you played Choose Your Own Adventure books.
I told you I wanted to, but I didn't have any friends that were nerdy enough or cool enough. I don't know. Thanks for bringing that up again, Ivor. Now I'm going to cry. I just installed this door, and I'm certainly going to play it just to get to the point where the guy that has his junk blocked out is getting put into the vat of freaking lasers.
Very cool. Very cool. So do you have any parting apps there, Josh?
I do not, Dor. My tank is empty.
Okay. Do you have any parting words for us?
No. I mean, I wish I was as much of a nerd as you guys are, and I'm a little bit upset that I'm not.
Okay. Ivor?
I have one more app. I thought I'd bring a game. I've got a game this time. This is called Kickflick Legends. And I don't know what it was like in the US, but here and in the UK, we used to get these comic books, which were about football stars and football heroes. And they had a very distinct style, very 1970s, 1980s sort of thing. And you had, stories of the famous football player who rescued a cat on his way to the game or something. Like that. And you'd have all these stories, and he scores 3 goals for his side and wins the cup. But this particular game is in that particular genre of style of football hero comic. And you play as the manager of a football club, starting out in the lower leagues, and you gradually get better and better, and you buy more better players, and you get more skilled players, and you actually get to play the games as well. You have to shoot the ball pass the ball from one player to the next, and you get to score goals, and the artwork is brilliant. It is really, really good, and I spent quite a bit of time playing this, and I really, really enjoyed it, and it really took me back again. Bit of nostalgia back to the days when I was charging around the soccer field as well, reading football magazines.
I called that last Tuesday.
Yeah,
very cool.
Seems like last Tuesday.
Yeah, and I'll say one thing this game advertises that not a lot of games do is you can even get this on the Amazon App Store, which if you are a Kindle owner, this one is available to you. But I'll say this, I'm 99% sure this style and everything didn't originate with soccer. I'm fairly confidently sure the idea of this style, this magazine, originated actually with Lucha Libre wrestling and the Silver Mask.
Oh, yes. Yes. Very similar. Yeah.
Right. But I'll say, with that said, this, even though you're not playing like full games, you're playing mini games, it looks, this style is, to me, I can't look away.
No, it is very, very engaging, I would say.
And, mini games, I'm sure there's not like a billion different types of mini games. There's only so many mini games you can do involving soccer. But I do like the fact that it's free. Do you know what the in-app purchases are?
You can buy, you get card packs, and each pack has either players or special abilities. So you can buy a mixed pack of extra bonuses when you're playing. You can allocate those to your players.
So could the in-app purchases just speed up your abilities, or do you think you have to spend money?
Yeah, the purchase, they will speed up your abilities and make you give your players more abilities or special abilities. Yeah,
gotcha.
Make it easy.
Very cool.
They're not actual players, I wouldn't imagine.
No. Not.
Well, just because that would cost too much money for them.
Oh yeah, for sure. Exactly. Licensing fees.
Very good. Very cool. Do you have any parting words for everyone, Ivor?
No, just to keep on going and enjoy what you do, and thank you for your support. We really do appreciate all the people who watch us and listen to us and provide Patreon funding as well. So thank you.
Very cool. App/link rundown. Okay, here we go. IoT-based botnet infecting Android set-top boxes. We have the credit card size phone, aka the Lite phone. We have the ebook 10.3 Likebook Memes. We have Hong Kong protesters offline messaging apps. We have Hacker Simulator Tycoon. After that, we have a blog on Medium about mesh networking in distant lands. We have Magnet Balls Pro Free, Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic, themes for Huawei and Honor, I Became a Dog, Idle Poo Factory VIP, Yora Adventures, Linux Command Library, Last Arrows, AirDroid Remote Support, YouTube Movies and Shows Free with Ads, Palabri Feedly RSS Newsreader, Bacon the Game, OSM and Offline Travel Maps and Navigation, Maps Me, Offline Maps Guide and Navigation, Poly Clock, World Clock. That's a whole lot of apps and links. I want to thank everyone for coming out to the live show. I want to thank everyone for all their support. Again, do not hesitate if you want to send us an email, aaa@podnuts.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, that is 7076-PODNUT. If you want to chat with us on Reddit, it's reddit.com/r/podnut. I do need to take a look at, I've had two or three people now tell me if I liked Google Plus, I need to look at Google, what was it called? Google Pages? Google Communities? I'll figure it out. And if it looks good, I'll definitely try to bring it back again next week. Thank everyone for the support. Thank everyone for the downloads. We will talk to everyone again real soon.
My name is Jeff Halish. I'm the host of PodNuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at guest@podnuts.com. PodNuts Daily, where it's fun to talk tech.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.